Blog Talk Radio.
The Hair Radio Morning Show is proud to honor the incredible achievements of Ms. Cicely Tyson. And from today forward, all of our in-studio live guests will wait here to go on the air in our newly minted Cicely Tyson Hair Radio Morning Show Green Room. Stay tuned.
Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Broad Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carrie Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carafe Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo Events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Nah, 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 come on!
Come on, 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 come on
stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
Digital downloads of your favorite episodes of Hairpreneurs are available for just $4.99 at HairRadio.com's website store. Buy your own audio download and get the tips to help you build your hair business.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, we have a very, very special broadcast today. We're talking with three individuals who are protesters with the Black Lives Matter. And it's not just about being a protester with the Black Lives Matter so much, but also the fact of being injured. And we're going to get into all of that with the whole story. It's several stories. It's just amazing. And we're also joined by, you guys know her, Miss Lisa Bloom, the attorney for these individuals. We welcome everybody to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Good morning, everybody.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning. Thank you.
I want to jump right on. Yes, good morning, guys. I want to jump right on in. Let me just identify everybody first. We've got Nia Love from Sacramento area, as well as Pouche Clonaire from Sacramento as well, and Bradley Stein, who is down in Los Angeles. And you guys, again, were joined by Lisa Bloom from the Bloom Firm. Let's go ahead and start. This is really, all of this comes out of protesting in response to the George Floyd incident, the death of George Floyd back earlier this in actually in mid-2020. So I just want to get a little feel of, you know, maybe we can start with Brad. Maybe you can just explain a little bit about the incident that involved you in Los Angeles. And we'll get everybody in real quick.
Sure, and thanks again for having us on. So I was like the rest of this country shocked and appalled at the senseless killing and the images and the video of this man squeezing the life out of George Floyd as he pleaded and begged because he couldn't breathe and wanted his life spared. And there was an opportunity in Los Angeles at a Black Lives Matter rally, and I decided to attend it. I was going to take my 10-year-old daughter, but I decided at the last minute not to take her. And, it felt like the whole of Los Angeles came out. Angelinos and folks, teenagers, kids, old people, everybody came out, and we gathered, and we took our march to the streets, and we started marching down the street, and, you know, we found ourselves at the intersection of Fairfax and
Third,
near the Beverly, I beg your pardon, near the Grove shopping center. And, everybody was peaceful together. We were talking about the people that had lost their lives, from Breonna Taylor to George Floyd, and, some Black Lives Matter folks were speaking about the injustices and about seeking police reform for the way that they have been acting to black Americans and people of color in the United States. And the march continued, and you know, we found ourselves in the skirmish line where police were violently beating up protesters. And in the melee of all of that, I saw somebody getting hurt. I tried to help them, and I was subsequently hit across the chest, and I was shot from a few feet away by a rubber bullet. Unfortunately, the rubber bullet hit me in the genitalia and ruptured my left testicle. So that's pretty much what happened to me.
Just awful. Now, Lisa, I want to kind of get into this with the rubber bullets, and of course, I want to hear from both me and Fouché as well. But I have to talk about this with the rubber bullets, because I've been reading and a whole bunch of going back and forth about the use, the proper use of these rubber bullets, and when they might be used for crowd control. Is there anything that you can add to that, Lisa Bloom?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, you might think, well, at least they're not using the regular bullets, they're using rubber bullets. But in fact, rubber bullets can be lethal, and they have been in a number of cases. And if they're not lethal, they can cause lifelong injuries, as has happened to all three of my clients, Bradley, Nia, and Fouché, who are on this call. Injuries to their face, to their eyes, to their genitals. It is horrific. And the guidelines in California for police state very clearly that rubber bullets and other so-called less lethal weapons are never to be used for crowd control. They're never to be used in retaliation. No police weapon is to be used in retaliation. If you're angry at somebody, if you don't like the way they're protesting, you're never allowed to use a weapon. They're only allowed to be used in self-defense or in defense of another when there's a very serious risk of injury or death. And even then, you're supposed to shoot center mass, meaning to somebody's torso, never to the genitals or the face. That's why all three of these cases are so important, because we have to hold the police accountable for maiming people who are there protesting a very just and righteous issue. This should never have happened to any of them.
Absolutely. I want to turn to the two from San Francisco, Nia Love and Fouché Conner, if I'm pronouncing her name correctly. So, I'm sorry, from Sacramento. Correct,
okay.
Sacramento, California. Nia and Fouché, tell us, now, were you guys at the same Black Lives Matter march in your area, in Sacramento area?
I'm not sure.
Nia, I'm sorry.
No, it was two different ones.
Two different ones. Okay, I just wanted to, okay. Nia, just to start with you, can you tell us, because I was looking a little bit at your story as well, I was just first of all, blown away with your poise. Can you just tell everybody a little bit about your experience, what happened to you on that night when you were marching with for the Black Lives Matter?
Just like Bradley said, after George Floyd murder, I was angry, upset, hurt. So I went out to march with my youngest brother, and for a while it was okay. It was fine, and then it got really hostile. And I was actually walking away from the crowd, and I turned around to look for my brother. When I turned around, in a couple seconds, I was hit in the eye. And my eye was literally blown to pieces.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. I have to ask you guys, this is really tough to hear, you know, for our listeners out there. How are you guys actually coming along at this point? How are you doing, Ian, since I have you on the line about this? How are you coming along? How is your eyesight at this point?
I'm not that great. I haven't been at work in about 8 months.
Wow.
Since it happened, it's hard for me to get medication because my insurance got canceled because I'm not working. I can't drive. I'm completely blind on the left side. So it's hard. I'm still trying to figure out how to maneuver day to day with learning how to live my new reality, being blind in one eye. So, and then mentally, it's also very hard.
Well, I have to tell you, and I just in looking at some of your information, I saw a comment there about, you know, that you have daughters and you certainly, you know, you don't want them to ever grow up in this kind of crazy, to go through these things that we're all going through right now. So just a really good, you know, you have, you know, just such under the circumstances, you know, just doing amazing things. With all of this.
Thank you.
I have to turn to you. Yes, absolutely. I'm sure there's a better way to put that. Fouché, please tell us a little bit. I didn't get a whole bunch on your experience, and I wanted to definitely understand exactly what happened also, as well from Sacramento. So please tell us when it happened and exactly what happened.
Hello. It's very nice to be here as well, along with everybody else, including Lisa. But what happened on, you know, May 31st for me was that after seeing protests and after seeing what George Floyd happened, what happened to George Floyd, it definitely moves me into a direction, a different direction. I've been wanting to be a part of serving people, serving the country, serving my community for a while. I wanted to be a part of law enforcement, and I was aiming towards that. Just going all the way back to Trayvon Martin, going all the way back to, you know, Eric Garner, all the people that have been already made it pretty obvious that this injustice and this inequality is blatant in our country. It made me think about all that and what I could be doing to helping. And the one thing I know is just to exercise my rights protest, just as everybody should when they see injustice or they see something that needs to change inside our country. Historically, I wanted to go out there to march with my brothers and sisters, to go out there and speak out for change and to ultimately be peaceful. I really wanted to go out there, be peaceful, have us be heard, but also not have us be harmed as well. We were all taking knees, chanting, sitting down, and a lot of that stuff changed when police presence came. They came in armor. They came with what it looked like guns at the time. They came and just looked like full riot gear. At a protest that was pretty much peaceful. It was all peaceful. I did not feel like I was threatened or my life was threatened, or I didn't feel fear until that presence, until that police presence came there. And once they came there, we went to continue to protest on the street that we were on the Capitol, at the Capitol. And shortly after that, they let go tear gas, rubber bullets, projectiles that one, as I was fleeing, did hit me in my face, really close to my eye. I couldn't see for a while, and it has forever changed my view and my look at my future career path, and what I could be doing to helping this movement.
Mm. And I saw these pictures. How is your eye coming along? How is your injury coming along at this point?
Recently, I have still had floaters and light still bothered with my eye. I forever have a scar right next to my eye. And honestly, my life has been flipped upside down, and ever since then, moving forward has been a little bit more difficult. Seeing positivity in what everything's going without reform.
Wow. I'm just, well, first, thank you very much for sharing. You guys, if you're just joining us, let me just bring everybody up to speed. You're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. I'm on today with three individuals, all who are Black Lives Matter protesters who were injured. Now, Lisa, I do have to talk to you about one of the things that I had noticed. And what I saw was that I think it was in the case of Nia, where I believe the police, the law enforcement, I think they were saying that there were several different, no one like would take ownership of these, you know, these rubber bullets being fired. You know,
right.
It seemed to me like everybody, you know, like two or three different
right.
police agencies or whatever were blaming the other. And I'm blown away. So what on earth can be done, if anything? It's hard to, when they won't even acknowledge that, you know, it was there, which to me, I can't imagine that there can't be records that would
right.
indicate when a firearm is discharged. I mean, that's just,
can you,
I don't even
yes,
know what else to
Carrie,
say.
You know, you're putting your finger on something that's so important. Can you believe we live in a country and our tax dollars are going to pay our local officials
right.
and they cannot even tell us who fired bullets that injured a citizen? We don't know which agency it was. It was some other agency, probably not ours. We don't know. Maybe it was them. I mean, this is insane. Of course, they should always keep records. They're required by law to keep records when they discharge a weapon, when they use a weapon on a citizen. Now, we believe it was the Sacramento PD, but we have filed lawsuits on behalf of all three of these wonderful BLM protesters
yes.
who are on the call with me right now, Nia, Fouché,
yes.
and Bradley. And we will get to the bottom of it because we will force them to answer our questions and our subpoenas, and we will get to the bottom of that. I don't think that's going to be difficult. You know, but what's really striking to me is, you know, bringing this case to the present. We all saw what happened on January 6th at the Capitol in Washington, D.C., right, where
yes.
that crowd of almost entirely white protesters was actually
correct.
Ushered right into the Capitol. I mean, police officers not only didn't use any violence on the crowd when they were just out there protesting, but opened the doors, there's videos, waved them on in, and now we find out that some of the, certainly not all, but a small number of the police officers there were actually white supremacists and sympathizers with those protesters. And it's just appalling and disturbing that the way that white protesters in events that are like Trump rallies and people protesting stay-at-home orders, the way that they have gotten treated compared to Black Lives Matter protesters. I mean, it really, you know, if you think about it, Nia and Fouché and Bradley were all there protesting police brutality, and then all three of them became victims of police brutality, proving the very
exactly.
point of the protest.
Exactly. Well, that's the irony of to me, and it's just filled with this throughout everything. I mean, just the fact of the, you know, that you're there exercising your right, you know, to assemble peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's almost as if that these officers are unaware. I just it's hard to
mm-hmm.
kind of rationalize this, trying to explain it. But I have to say, folks have taken notice about the, it seems like such an uneven, you know, an uneven amount of force when it,
mm-hmm.
as you just to your point, Lisa, about the, when it's relating to you know, folks of color, as opposed to those folks who were going out to support Donald Trump with their riot and so forth.
Yes.
But I tell you, I just want to say this, and I'm not, you know, just to kind of move along a little bit for everybody, but I want to thank everybody who is going out there and like what you guys have done with standing up and protesting. I've been out there myself, so I can certainly understand every single aspect of what it takes to do that. And you know, and looking at your stories, and Brad, I think you know, and kind of looking at your story as well, I'm going to get into all of it now, but just, you know, just I'm blown away with the courage that it takes and the road that you've taken, guys, for all of you to get where you are. And Lisa, I just want to say, is there, yes, absolutely. Do you guys, you know, easy question, but do you guys,
is there anybody who would do anything differently? Nia, would you change and just, you know, if you could take it all back that night, would you change and do anything any different?
No, I wouldn't. Like I said before, it's bigger than just what happened to me. So I think, you know, take one for the team.
I hear you. Okay. And what about you, Fouché? Is there anything that you would kind of have done differently if you could?
I've asked myself that question many of times, to be honest. They all come to the same conclusion that, no, I wouldn't have changed anything that I did. I think if I were to change or say if I were to change anything, that's implying that what I did was fully wrong, and that's also implying that what they did was right. What they did wasn't right, and I'm here for a reason, and I'm
exactly.
here to fight for justice. So, no, I wouldn't have.
I'm glad you brought that. Absolutely, and that was the point I was about to get to as well. Very good. Thank you for that. So, Bradley, I want to say, and in your case, you have just awful, you know, experience with dealing with all of this. Being from South Africa, you know, you've seen a whole bunch, and you just so you have a little probably, you know, I hate to say, but you've got some reference to some degree with all of this. So I just have to say as well, let me just stay on this. Would you do anything any different as well? Let me just officially ask you that question.
Yeah, this is Lisa, but I'm going to jump
yes,
in on
Lisa,
that one for Bradley, because there have been criminal charges filed against him. So his case is a little bit different. And
I
have to jump in as his attorney and not have him answer that or anything too specific.
Don't ask, no problem at all.
Sorry. But
that's fine. No, that's perfectly fine. Just next thing,
Lisa,
yes.
if I could say one thing, and that is that, you know, the difference, I just want to go back and just address the differences in the way police handle, you know, what happened at the Capitol versus what happened
yes.
to Black Lives Matter marches.
Or you can talk about anything with your South Africa activism and background, because that's very interesting.
Yeah. So my background is I was recruited by President Nelson Mandela and his African National Congress as a clandestine officer, as a spy. To help them infiltrate right-wing white nationalist groups in the late 80s in South Africa. And I was involved with the struggle, you know, like the civil rights movement here in the United States, but in South Africa. And what I've seen here in the United States is appalling. The white privilege that law enforcement, people in government, stand behind the institutionalized and systemic racism that I've seen in all these institutions is remnant of apartheid rule, you know, methodologies of the South African government and what they used, and they actually got that from the Australians that were, you know, suppressing the Aborigines, the Germans that were
right.
oppressing the Jews, and you know, the national security apparatus in this country has to change. So, you know, hopefully that's going to happen with this new administration that's coming in. Because what we've seen with this Trump administration is that all this poison has actually risen to the top, and it's shown itself. So, you know, it's frightening to see the state of the blatant racism in the United States, and it's very reminiscent of apartheid South Africa and the oppression of that time. So yeah, I just wanted to add that.
Well, I totally agree, and I'm sure many of our listeners out there are just it becomes very difficult for folks, you know, for us to, you know, keep saying the same things over and over. And I just, you know, we applaud you so very much, and I thank you. I cannot thank you enough, you guys, for really standing up for what you believe in beyond words, beyond words. Mm. And I have to say, Lisa, I just thank you so much, Miss Lisa Bloom. You are always doing amazing work. I just want to personally tell you that. I love you and your mother and just everything that you're doing. So keep representing the folks that you're doing and doing.
I love you back. And thank you for what you're doing. And thank you for speaking out about what's important and what's right. And that's what I think everybody on the line right now cares about. So bless you.
Absolutely.
I would like to welcome you all to a delicious place to eat. We call this La Luz Cafe.
Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very special guest joining us today. She's actually a new addition to the lineup right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. It is my honor to welcome Monica. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Carrie.
Yes. So I want us to just kind of jump right on in to all the fray here. Tell the folks a little bit about yourself, Monica. We know that you're coming to our daily broadcast here, but tell us why.
Well, I feel like it's a big need for people to kind of hear from the stylist and their point of view and, you know, our experiences, because sometimes people just look at us a certain way as far as we have all the answers. But to be able to get the public point of view is phenomenal, and I've been in the industry for I guess a little over 22 years. Don't try to guess my age, but a little over 22 years.
I was trying to add, couldn't do it fast enough.
And I actually got in the industry on an accident.
Really?
And yes, it's a funny story. I'm an Air Force veteran.
Awesome.
And I was
I
was stationed in Japan, and so I was doing my hair. Honey, I kept that hair done every week. And people were like, so who's doing your hair? And I'm like, well, I had a routine. I get off work on Friday, I do my hair, and, you know, that's what it is. And so I ended up with a clientele, and I discovered that not only did I have blessed hands, that I loved what I did. And so when I got out of the service, I moved back home to Chicago, where I'm born and raised. And I looked into beauty school, and I attended Dudley University, Chicago.
Dudley. Campus. Yay for Dudley. We love Dudley. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Yes. I love Dudley, too. They gave me a phenomenal foundation as far as education and professionalism.
Yes.
They really instilled
in
us.
They taught the whole industry.
They yes. do, yeah. Like, they really instilled in us what it is to be a hair care professional.
Yes, absolutely.
And so from there, I've done a lot of traveling. Like I said, I went to school in Chicago, and then I moved to Dallas, Texas. Yeah. And then I moved back to Chicago, then to Atlanta, and I'm actually back in Dallas now.
Oh,
and with that has allowed me to interact with so many different people in the industry and out of the industry, and it really did is just flourish my love and my passion for what I do. And in that journey, I've learned that right now we have a serious epidemic of hair loss, extreme hair loss. Lots of women out here with medical issues that are leading to extreme and severe hair loss. And so I've been focusing and directing my career in that direction, being able to cater to those women and help them regain their self-confidence.
Exactly. And I speak to that as well in the sense that, you know, there are a lot of alopecia organizations out there, but there really isn't one that addresses the needs, especially for women of color, I've noticed in the community, who deal with traction alopecia. I don't see enough about it. The organizations that I've encountered, who've actually been on my show as well, they deal with every other alopecia. You know, there are many. They deal with every other alopecia, but they don't address or even acknowledge, from what I've found, the issue that face a lot of women of color. And so, yes, it could be argued, of course, that it's one that is, you know, totally avoidable and all of that. But I love the stylists like yourself who come on the show and say, listen, this is a real thing, and you are going to help those women out there with it. And I'm blown away. So, Monica, wonderful, wonderful, great stuff. Okay.
Thank you.
Now you are out there in the DFW, I call it, that's the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Have you found, and you've been, you know, especially through your travels to Japan and being a servicewoman and doing all, a service person, I should say, and doing all these amazing things and not being afraid to travel. See, that's the other thing, and I love that about you, not being afraid to go and just replant yourself and kind of I love that. So where did that come from? What was that germ inside of you that says don't be afraid of change?
You know what, Carrie? I don't know. I think the biggest thing is I might bore easily. I'm unsure. But I love it, and it's exciting. Like I said, no matter where I go. I easily connect with people. So now that I'm trying to root here in Dallas this time. I'm trying to be still, but I still have friends and connections in all of those other areas. I try to stay connected with everybody. So I don't know. I just like change and hey, what's that over there? I think it's the inquisitive part of me.
Well, I'm loving it, and you talk about, you know, remaining connected. That's what this show is all about. I'm here in New York. Of course, everybody knows I'm based out of Brooklyn, New York, even though I'm from Philly. So shout out to all my Philly family members and all that. But I also have to say, you're out in Dallas area. And our listeners, we have tons of listeners between us, as well as folks who are all over the world, literally. So we have to. So the wonderful thing is that everybody can stay connected. When you're on the Hair Radio Morning Show, you can kind of say hi to the family. You can say hi to the friends wherever they are, literally. You know, that's the wonderful thing. And that's kind of the reason I brought the show to the Internet, because we started in terrestrial radio, as you might be aware, on AM and FM in different markets. But this has been just a worldwide movement. So I wanted to ask you, Monique, what is it with the business? You've been out there, I think, 22 years. I mean, that's a long time in the hair business. Have you noticed any changes? I mean, is it the same business and industry that you started that's reflected today, or is it a little bit different?
Oh, my God, Carrie, it's funny that you say that. I feel like it has changed. It's changed drastically, and when I say it's changed, I think the mentality of the new stylists and barbers is totally different. So basically the integrity and the morality of the industry has changed. So they don't even approach the industry like we did. And when I say that, more so like they're looking at it more like a hustle. When we came in, we were looking at it more as a career. And for that alone, it makes a huge shift in the industry. Even small things like supporting one another, sharing information, even down to using professional products as opposed to just using what you can get your hands on. And just listening to the client and how they feel in regards to how their experience today is much different than it was in latter years. It's like, wow, what do we do? How do we connect? How do we get their attention and say, hey, let's try to get back to what it used to be? Because sometimes if it ain't broke, don't mess with it, you know?
Right, that's right. Well, what I love about what you said, Monique, and that is that how do we get it back? And I think that's one of the reasons why I developed the Hair Radio Show. I saw this 25 years ago in 1995, and ironically, it has the need for what we're still literally covering, the same types of topics that I covered in 1995, especially with regards to like natural hair and all of that. So it's just been an interesting thing, the trade shows and all of the folks. But I kind of second what you say. I definitely feel that I wish there were times that could, you know, we could kind of harken back to those golden days, so to speak, in the industry, and everything seems to be just overflowing and flourishing. But I do see a big wave. I call it a black wave happening as we watch television and see all of this wonderful talk about race and ethnicity. And so there might be opportunities for us to kind of, you know, become more supportive and all of that. So we'll have to do our part. That's what I think we've got to do, Monique. I think we've got to do a part. Hey, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a wonderful new addition to our amazing lineup right here with us on the air. Her name is Monique. Now, she is a stylist out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area now, out of Texas. So we're so happy to have you with us, Monique.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here, Carrie.
Yes. Well, this is just the beginning. So I wanted to turn to some of the talk of what you're planning to do right here on our broadcast. I understand that there's some things that you kind of want to address, and you're going to do it. You're going to use your time to do it right here on our broadcast. So what are some of the things that kind of jump out at you that you might want to share with our listeners? And just give us a little preview today.
Well, one of the things that strikes me first and foremost would be things that I thought about while being on quarantine. And one of those things that jumped out to me was, are you doing hair or doing business? And when I say that, there are some people that were not eligible for a lot of the things that were offered to self-employed or small business entities because they did not have their business in order. So they're just doing hair. They're going in, they're doing the client, they're getting that immediate gratification of hand, of money in hand, and moving along instead of having their business set up to be recognized as an actual business entity. So I thought that was important.
Well, before you go there, that's a plan. What you've just said is a plan, and you really hit it on the head with just the immediate gratification of getting paid. And kind of, it reminds me of back in those days when I would go into the shops and to the salons, largely back in the mid-90s, there were not very many computers there, and if at all. And it was just a cash. Everybody just had cash in and cash out. And,
oh, my God, we were burning a hole in our hands.
Yes, it was just a very different business. But you're right. There were so many folks out here who could not necessarily take advantage of some of these amazing opportunities that seem to have arisen from this awful, dreadful situation that we find ourselves in terms of quarantine, et cetera. But I have to say, folks like yourself who are out here making a difference and reminding us of this, so, you know, helping folks to just stay focused on business. Don't just do hair, as you were pointing out. You know, you got to do business, and you got to look long-term. And this is one of those ways to do it is by participating with the show. So we love this. Now, what else do we have on the list, I guess I'm trying to say?
Client and stylist boundaries.
Tell us about that.
Well, you know, you tend to, especially, you know, we get a lot of clients that come in and you get that type of friendship rapport with them because of the things that they share with us, the things that we talk about. And some clients tend to take that over the line and not recognize the boundaries of client and professional.
Mm.
That this is still, once again, this is still a business. So love you, sis, but there won't be any hookups. And when you're trying to establish that boundary, sometimes it causes a little tension. And so it does make it an uncomfortable situation a lot of times for the client and the stylist. But if those boundaries are set in the very beginning, once again, reverting back to that first topic, establishing yourself as a business, then there's no need to feel that those boundaries would ever be crossed.
Wow. That says it all to me. I love that at the beginning. See, that's the real key. You can always address things, you know, if you kind of even allude to it at the beginning. Now, you may have to go back later and you might need to, you know, refine it or retool it or whatever, but if you kind of address it, at least it makes it so much easier. And that, again, like you said, it goes back to professionalism. Awesome.
Yeah, it's a little less tense and uncomfortable because I've seen a lot of the younger stylists get uncomfortable when the situation gets out of hand and they're like, well, how do I fix it? And I don't want to lose my client if I say don't, you know. So.
Well, speaking of losing clients, I happen to know, because I took a peek at your list, so I happen to know this already. That you know, that sometimes the stylist might be afraid that they might lose a client. And, you know, about pricing, you know, there comes a time that, I want you to talk to this because this is this is huge right now about prices. A lot of the salons, the stylists have decided to increase their prices, and rightfully so in my book. But what can you say about this whole price increase topic?
You know, I was once that stylist in my younger,
Okay.
Where I was scared too, and I mean, it's a legitimate fear because the clients come in and they're used to coming in and paying a certain price. But nobody, once again, ever thinks of us as a business, and we have to be able to keep up with what's happening with the rest of the economy. So when the groceries and the gas go up, hey, we need to be able to afford it too. So it gets a little scary. Like, will they leave me because they're so used to? But I think at that particular time, it has to be explained in a way where they can actually empathize with the whole situation. Like, hey, you know, this is a business. This is what I'm going to need to do. And, you know, I really kind of need you to respect it. But right now, like you said, coming off of the quarantine, we've all had to be put in a situation where we're taking less clients, but we're still working the same amount of hours. And so at that particular time, it's like, hey, how do I compensate, or how do I get back to what I'm used to making? And I've heard a lot of the stylists feel real uncomfortable with doing price increases. But, you know, you got to kind of just, once again, for me, it's all about being respected as a professional. It's easier to get it accomplished if they respect you and understand that it's a business than it is if it's like, well, hey, girl, I'm just going to go up to $100 today. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It makes a big difference. So I don't know.
Well, you know how I weigh in on this, and there are so many different things and so many different ways to look at it. But mm-hmm. the biggest thing for me is that right now everybody is sharing in this awful, dreadful nightmare for the world, literally. So it should not be a surprise. If it is a surprise to you that I may need to go up a few, $3 or $4 or $5 or whatever it is to account for your safety and security while you're entrusting me with your hair care, then you need more than I could do just fixing the hair on your head. So,
but you know what, though, Carrie?
Yes.
I'm sorry. But you know,
Go ahead.
I've seen some of the women feel like because we were all off that we should be a little more lenient in our pricing as opposed to increasing the prices. Like some of them feel like we should go down in price because
really?
This is our work. Yeah,
now, hold it,
right.
I haven't heard that one.
Oh, yeah, like, well, you know, I haven't been working, so, you know, it's really,
You mean they feel that you should actually be going down on your prices where you,
That whole hookup mentality, there goes again, friendship, deals, and boundaries. Like,
oh, my goodness. Well, that doesn't sound like it'll go over too well. That's going to hit like a thump on the floor. I can't imagine. Wow, that's interesting.
Yes. Why are you tricking me this much? You weren't charging this before. Like, okay.
Oh, my. Well, you know, that's awful. I can only say that's awful because I look at it that, you know, we've had all these amazing folks on our show. And so I get a close-up, you know, view and great education and information. I remember where we had Nurse Leslie, who is the actual ED. She's the educational director for Barberside, right here on our broadcast. And she walked everybody through everything that they need to be doing. And this was at the height of the pandemic. And you guys, I have the podcast out there. It's on Spotify and across my podcast platforms. You can just Google Carrie Hines podcasts and all that will come up, but with Nurse Leslie and so many others. But the thing that really shocked me is that, and not just with them, but all of the extra expenses that I found associated with reopening. And then if that's not enough, having much less clients and having to space people out, and even those businesses who relied on the walk-ins for a big percentage or a big bulk of their business, they had to look for other options. So to me, it's like if you want this salon or barbershop or whatever to be in your community, then this is a part of supporting them. And, you know, I'm blown away because I look at these folks who provide the hair care as almost as these first type of responders, in my opinion, because they're out there, many of them, yes, their shops were largely closed during the height, but in some states, they were allowed to remain open to service those who were working through the pandemic.
Right.
So
right.
I just, you know, to me and to see, it was very jarring initially for me to see the stylists and barbers. You have to understand, you know, to see everybody looking like they're going in to do surgery. That's how it looked to me. I'm sure I'm not alone.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I was just, you know, it's a different day. It's a different day.
It is.
And, you know, so I just want to officially salute you and all the professionals in the industry. We love you guys. We are true advocates for the industry. This is a platform that will promote the entire industry. We just don't hold the needle over to one type of hair or one
mm-hmm.
type of this or one type of that. It's all inclusive. We welcome everybody to the broadcast for the Hair Radio Morning Show. So speaking of welcoming to the broadcast, we're happy to have you with us.
I'm
we really are.
You.
We're just excited. Yes. So, folks, we've been chatting.
I'm pumped up.
Yes. Well, let me tell you, Monica. Monica is with us, everybody. You're just bringing up just a ball of energy to all of this, and there's so many amazing topics. I'm just blown away that you are with us, and we've got you. We've got you right here. So, Monica, now, what about down the road? What would you like to see happen in the industry? What's your next move? We know you're coming to the Hair Radio Morning Show. You're gonna just turn it out here. But what else would you like to see out there happen for Miss Monica?
For Miss Monica, my
yes,
future
in the
plans
industry.
In the industry, for the most part, like I said, my whole thing right now that's big to me and close to my heart is being able to help these women with hair loss. I want to be able to educate as many stylists and barbers as I can so that we can kind of get ahead of this. I want to be able to get a center open because, for the most part, you mentioned earlier, it's harder for us African-American women and men to find someone to service them with those particular issues. If you look around, it doesn't really – we're not marketed to, I'll put it that way. So it's harder to find us. So I want to make sure that I get it out there as much as I can. And I want to get as many – stylists and barbers connected to maybe even do our own group in different cities to be able to address that particular issue.
Well, I can actually piggyback on what you've just said, and we love that here, Monica. The good news is that we've already started on that path and on that road right here on our show, on the Hair Radio
mm-hmm.
Morning Show. We've got a gentleman that we're going to make sure that you are turned and tuned into, Cade. He does a program called Mr. Trichology. And right now it's
mm-hmm.
on Thursday mornings here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're going to invite you to participate with that and just really help to address the needs of this community. I think that you guys would be a great team. So we're going to definitely make the connection and introduction. And I just have to say, you're on the right path. You are on the right path, Ms. Monica.
Yes.
Now, let me just say this. Is there anybody that you would like to just shout out to this morning?
Yeah, I would. I'd love to say, hey, Ma. My mother's in Byron, Mississippi, and, you know, she's one of my biggest supporters. Then my son. Yeah, my son, he's in Vegas. He's probably runner-up next to my mom. And then my brother, he's in Indiana. So we're all over the place. I just
yes.
want to say hey to you guys, and, you know, I love you. And there's my shout-out.
Well, I'm loving it. You guys, this has been a wonderful interview, and we're just so excited to have you on to be included now in the lineup here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We've been chatting with Monica out of the Dallas area this morning. Okay, Monica, I want to, again, thank you so much for being with us on the broadcast.
Thank you for having me, Kerry.
All right. Well, folks, I just want to say thank you so very much. We've got a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Cheer. Rihanna. Uh-huh. in my stones. Let it rain, I hide your plane in the bank. Coming down like a Dow Jones. When the clouds come, we gone. We Rockefellers, we fly higher than weather, and G5s are better, you know me. In anticipation for precipitation, stack chips with a rainy day. Jay, Rain Man is back, with Little Miss Sunshine. Rihanna, where you at?
You have my heart, and we'll never be worlds apart. Maybe in magazines, but you still be my star. Baby, cause in the dark, you can't see shiny cars.
Listen to our 24/7 Hair Radio Broadcast Network and shop all in the same place. Go to hairradio.com. We've got around-the-clock hair and beauty radio talk. And while you're there, buy your favorite books, hair products, tickets to live hair and beauty events, and much more. And if you'd like to feature your products in our hairradio.com website store or be a guest on the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, contact us at hairradio.com and reach the world.
All new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very, very special guest with us today. He's actually kind of like the eyes and ears of Hair Radio. He's my dear friend. His name is Ed Hill. He's been with us many, many, many times. He was a part of our original Hair Radio show broadcast that was originally syndicated out of Newark, New Jersey. It's my honor to welcome back to the broadcast and back to Hair Radio, the one and only my buddy, Trucker Ed. Good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, Kerry. How are you?
I'm doing just fantastic. Listen, I've got to get you to weigh in on this, Ed. There is a viral video that has really hit the internet, and several folks have talked with us about it and have mentioned this. And it's just a coincidence that the Hair Radio Morning Show, the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, we have eyes and ears everywhere. You never know where you're going to find us. And I'm so honored that you, my friend, and I'm glad that you were there with your camera in tow
to record
all this. So listen, I want to set this up for our listeners, Ed, this morning. So what exactly happened? Now, this was just Monday, I believe, yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. Tell us what happened with all of this.
My neighbor, he's like three doors down from me, and, you know, I went out in the morning to, like, throw out my garbage, and I seen a couple of guys outside, and they were, like, videotaping on their phone and talking. I guess they were, like, on Facebook or TikTok or something like that, and I didn't pay no mind. So I just, you know, went back in the house, and then me and my wife went out to go eat, and then her girlfriend had texted her saying that, oh, there's something big going on in your neighborhood. And I was like, what the heck is going on? And we looked at the video, and it was guys in front of my neighbor's house protesting. But I didn't know what was going on leading up to the protest. So we ate, we came back home, and we saw all the cops were around. The Mount Laurel Police Department was out. They blocked the entrance to our complex.
Mount Laurel, New Jersey, by the way.
Yeah, Mount Laurel, New Jersey, yes. And I asked them, I said, you know, what's going on? I said, is there a way that I can get into my house? Because I live right, like, a couple of doors down from where the incident is going on. So he said, oh, you have to go around the back of the complex and enter that way. So we did that, and while we was going through the back, they started shutting everything down, closing off the streets. One of the cops said, if you want to go to your house, you can, but you'll be taking a chance because there's a big movement going on back there. And so,
well, what did you guys do? Did you, I'm now curious, what did y'all do? Did you go through the back way, or did you back it up, Ed?
No, I went straight through. The cops said you can go through if you want. So we drove up to where everything was going on. Nobody was blocking the road or anything, but they were blocking the area for me to get to my house. So on Gramercy Way, there's two ways to get in. There's one way in and one way out, pretty much, like a horseshoe. So we went through the other way, and we was able to get to our parking spot, and we seen everything that was going on. And then they were talking, you know, my other neighbor was telling me that there's this video going on with this guy, like spitting at this guy, having a big argument. And I was like, I said, what's going on here? So we watched the video, and it really hit me. I was like, you know, I know this guy. I don't know him personally, but I know him by passing. And,
now, this is a big Caucasian gentleman. He appeared to be, anyway,
right,
a big Caucasian gentleman. And what the video shows us, this viral video that just happened has led to protests in little New Jersey, southern little New Jersey area. It shows that this Caucasian man was pretty much affronting an African-American gentleman with in his own, like, coming out of his own door, it looks like. And so the viral, I think the video caught on, and so many folks are talking about it because
the Caucasian man, it sounded to me like he was telling everybody, well, come to his address if you got something to, you know, say or whatever about it. The thing to do.
Right,
not
exactly.
Not the thing to do to put it out there on the internet.
People to your house.
Yes.
You know, the people going to show up in situations like that.
And happily so. And believe me, it's never a good thing. You don't want to do that. And these days, your address is, you're going to have to move because your address is all over the internet.
Right, exactly.
And everybody knows what's going on. I mean, house, that's not smart. But, Ed, were you shocked? I mean, you guys.
I was very shocked.
Let me just bring you up to speed, folks, on what we're talking about this morning. First of all, Ed is a longtime friend. I've known him decades, and he's an original member of the Hair Radio Show. He can tell you all where the bodies are buried at our wonderful company. He's been there from the very early days of my success with Hair Radio back in 1995 out of New Jersey. Now, Ed, you still are down in Jersey. You're in the southern part of New Jersey. And you just so happened to be out with your wife having dinner and then to be alerted that there's some something happening in your neighborhood. You return to your street to find out it's literally dead smack three doors down.
With
the neighbor, and we all have we all call the creepy neighbor. We all have one in our neighborhood that we wish would move.
right.
We really do. Every neighborhood has one in it. So this fella you've seen before, you've seen him out and about. Now, the general consensus in the neighborhood is that folks see him and they probably start walking real quickly the other way. So what can you tell us that you've witnessed about this fella?
Well, I believe it was last winter. You know, I was outside and I was cleaning my car up with the snow, and he was out there also. He was cleaning other people's cars with off the snow and stuff like that. And he came up to me and we started talking, and he was telling me, oh, you know, I want to run for the board, which is we have a home HOA in our development. So he's running for the board to get on. So he was talking to me about it. He's like, oh, you know, can you vote for me and this and that? You know, a lot of people, they don't like me because I'm racist. And I was like,
he actually admitted to you that he was racist.
Right. So
I've never heard of anybody say, I'm racist and I'm raising my hand.
Right. So I'm like, you know, I didn't understand why he was, you know, bringing that up. And then there was an older lady that lived across from me, and she was on the board. I think she was the treasurer.
He thought you were going to join his crusade, Ed.
Right, exactly. Right. You know, so there was a lot of things that were going on. And there was like, you know, he was telling me about my old neighbor. She had moved. She wanted to move, and I didn't know why she moved. I thought maybe she moved because she passed away.
We have a clue why she got out of there.
Right, exactly. But what the reason was is that apparently – he broke her windows, threatened her, flattened her tires, and he didn't admit it, but on the video, if you watch the video, sort of, kind of, he did admit that that was the issue, because he said that the guy, the African-American guy, was talking to him and saying that somebody broke her windows by throwing rocks. He said, no, it was a shotgun.
Mm.
It was a shotgun that blew her windows out. So how do you know it was a shotgun that blew her windows out?
Unless you were the one who pulled the trigger.
Right, exactly. You know, so, you know, my wife and I.
Now, this is all alleged.
Kind of like weird with him. Huh?
Yeah. No, I was telling our listeners, these are all alleged things.
Exactly.
So we don't know, but that's what it seems like. So now, what did your wife say when you shared all this?
I told her, she said, oh, you got to stay away from that guy. You know, I knew from the beginning, since I first seen him, that he didn't like, you know,
people of color,
American people, you know, Puerto Rican, stuff like that. Because every time he'll see her, he'll look away and he don't say nothing to her. But when he sees me, he thinks that I'm a Caucasian guy. I'm half Italian, half black.
Now, so let me tell you, my friend to me is, I know you, boy. You are not a Caucasian gentleman.
Right, exactly.
You know, so, but he thinks you are in his mind. See, that's
right.
Where ignorance is so, like, you are
right,
real
exactly.
Stupid. That you're so ignorant that you think you can look at somebody and know who
right.
They are.
Right.
And
he
that's
always
the
talks
thing.
To me, but he doesn't talk to my wife.
Exactly. Right. What an idiot. What an idiot. A
right.
Bonehead. And so, so in this video, I'm just blown away. He's shouting all kinds of expletives and things and just really going in with the neighbor.
Right. Exactly.
So now,
it's like unbelievable.
Yeah, I was shocked. And so many folks have started to come to your little quiet neighborhood because
right,
you have
right.
moved down to South Jersey to kind of get away from all the crazy stuff up north.
Right, exactly, yeah. And, you know, when I seen that, I seen all the people out and gathering around, and I was like, it kind of surprised me in a way, but in a good way. Because
yeah, yeah.
people are coming out showing that, hey, listen, we're not tolerating this, I don't know how you say it, like,
No, you said it. We're
or,
not,
you know,
exactly. This stupidity,
right,
this
you know,
level of ignorance
right.
and our racism in our neighborhood.
Right, exactly.
Literally.
So I was very surprised and I was very, like, you know, happy that they were there. To do,
absolutely.
You know, to honor, you know, like, you know, African-American people, and we're not going to
exactly.
stand for that.
Exactly.
Know?
Well,
so,
I'm still loving the story, Ed. I have to tell you where
yeah,
this fella,
it's a very
you know,
good story, I tell you.
He comes up to you and says, listen, we got to do something. I want to run for a board member. And I want
right,
to, I'm racist.
Right, yeah.
I can't believe.
Like, come on, really?
Unreal. Yes, he was trying to think, he just assumed that you were racist too. Like, I'm just gagging
right,
over
exactly.
this. Listeners out there.
Yeah.
Folks, if you've just tuned in, you are listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, this is a very, very special, special interview. Today, we're talking with a gentleman who is my dear friend. I've known for many decades, and I really do mean many decades. We go back. Ed, my dear friend, has been on our broadcast, doing many big things. You have really made an impact with our company at Hair Radio. I remember, Ed used to help us do the advertising, used to help us to just hang out in the office, back down
yeah.
in New Jersey. This was when I syndicated the program. So you go back
right.
a long way, Ed. Now let me
oh,
ask
yes.
you something. How do you, when we tell you that we're up to, our 600th broadcast coming up very soon
wow.
of the Hair Radio Morning Show. Yes, 600.
Wow.
What goes through your mind?
That
you
awesome.
Were here from the beginning.
Yes, yes. That is awesome. I am so happy that, you know, Hair Radio came so far.
Yes.
Coming out of an office in Newark and, you know, getting everything all started. It's wonderful.
Okay.
I love it.
Thank you, Ed. Well, we appreciate your support. You've been a great supporter of ours. You've been a part of our efforts here at Hair Radio. You're doing big things, and we're happy that you did not get into. I'm glad that was not you in the video. But
yeah.
that is your neighbor. So now you know the. By the way, you knew the. You not so much know, but you've seen the Caucasian gentleman who was arguing
right.
and causing all the big stir. But had you ever met the African American gentleman that was in the video before? Where
no, I never
him?
Met him. I never met him, but he doesn't live there. He's a neighbor coming to another neighbor's defense.
Oh, okay.
So, right, that's what it was. The people that live there is an older couple, and I
mm-hmm.
believe they're Asian.
Oh,
so
he's
always
here.
Going there, and I believe they're Asian, and I believe the husband is on the board of the association.
See. Well,
so
that's why
the husband
good.
Is always giving him. The husband's always starting trouble. Apparently, the husband's always starting trouble with him, and getting him in trouble and stuff like that. And you know, so I think when he went to approach him for whatever reason, I think it just escalated, and according to what I've heard with the neighbors, that he was drunk at the time also.
Oh, well, you know, when you add alcohol into the mix with racism,
racism alone
is enough to drive anybody bonkers, and so is alcohol. So together, it's a real sad combination. Well, listen, Ed, my dear friend who's doing big things out there, you're a big truck driver now. I just want to say thank you so much for being with us. Yes, Ed, thank you so much. In all these years, you've been with us over 25. Well, I'm not even going to say how many years. It's just too many to count. Anybody you want to shout out to this morning, Ed?
I want to get a shout out to my wife, Kathy. I love her so much. And definitely give a shout out to all the people that came out to support the
protest, right?
Yeah, exactly. The program, yes, everybody.
Yeah.
And you know, I wish Hair Radio the best for another 120 years.
You got that right, Ed. Yes, 600th broadcast. Thank you. We wouldn't have gotten this far had it not been for you helping us to create the foundation of the original Hair Radio. So thank you so much. All right, Ed. Thank you so much again for being with us, and we'll talk to you soon on the show. Folks, keep it right here. We've got a lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Gary Hines. It is Wednesday morning. It's July 7th of 2021. Now, I just wanted to make a couple of quick announcements. If you're just tuning in, you might not be aware, there is a big breaking story that is kind of unfolding as we speak. I wanted to take a moment to acknowledge this. The Haitian president, according to the New York Times, has been assassinated in his home. Now, again, Jovenel Moïse died in an attack on his private residence on the outskirts of the capital, Port-au-Prince. His wife was also shot. The prime minister said a group of attackers were involved. Now, President Jovenel Moïse of Haiti was assassinated in an attack in the early hours of this Wednesday morning at his home on the outskirts of the capital in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, the prime minister said. Mr. Moïse's wife, Martine Moïse, was also shot in the attack. Prime Minister Claude Joseph said in a statement, her condition was not immediately clear. Now, a group of unidentified individuals, some of them speaking Spanish, attacked the private residence of the president of the republic and thus fatally wounded the head of state, according to the prime minister. The country's security situation is under control of the Haitian police and the armed forces of Haiti. Now, he said that all measures were being taken to protect the nation. The news rocked the impoverished Caribbean island nation, 675 miles, that's southeast of Miami. Haiti has a long history of dictatorships and coups, and democracy has never, ever fully taken root. The country has been rocked recently by protests against the president's rule and has also seen a surge in gang activity. The Hair Radio Morning Show will continue to cover this story
throughout the morning. And following our 9 o'clock wrap-up of this live show, go over to hairradio.com, that's HAIradio.com, for complete coverage throughout the 24 hours. We've got 24 hours over there. And again, keep it right here this morning for more of the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and stay tuned.
Eyes are the window to the soul. The scalp is the window to beautiful and luxurious hair. The way to obtain it is with Stimulating Roots. Stimulating Roots will exfoliate and detoxify your scalp, promoting healthy hair growth. Stimulating Roots has a system to detoxify and grow your hair. Their shampoo combines menthol, camphor, and pink grapefruit essential oil to improve blood circulation in the scalp. Their conditioner, that stimulates, moisturizes, and hydrates the hair. The regeneration oil, that contains essential oils that work together to promote hair growth while calming an itchy, dry, and irritated scalp. Open the window to beautiful and luxurious hair. Awaken the senses to your scalp with Stimulating Roots. This is available at StimulatingRoots.com. That's StimulatingRoots, R-U-T-Z.com.
Has your trip to the local hair store left you down? Same old hair with little selection and outrageous prices? Well, you need to check out TracyBeautySupply.com. This is an online beauty store specializing in all types of hair. There are different lengths, different colors, different styles, and you can basically live out your hair fantasy through this site. TracyBeautySupply.com is devoted to helping every woman's dream of the perfect hairstyle come true by providing the highest quality of virgin human hair. Want a new look? We'll help you find a new color. We'll help you find it. You can't get it, we got it. And we can deliver it to you because we can deliver everywhere. TracyBeautySupply.com, where hair fantasies come true.
This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
It's here, everybody. I'm Terry Hines. Join us live on the Hair Radio Morning Show on Friday, August 6, 2021 from 6 in the morning till 9 Eastern, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're celebrating our 600th live broadcast, and we've got some great surprises in store, special guests, and so much more. Also, don't forget to go to hairradio.com to shop for great products and listen to us around the clock. Stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. This is Linda C. from Hairpreneur, and I'm shouting out to Terry Hines and his amazing team. Don't forget to tune in to our next episode right here on the Hair Radio Show. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
Monty tribute, and you know who Eric Monty is. He's the one who created all of those wonderful TV hits like The Jeffersons, Good Times, also What's Happening Now, and so many other things. So Mr. Monty, who had suffered some pretty extraordinary health issues and is doing well now, that we're happy to say. But here's the story. We'll let it, you know, just be unfolded. And let us know what you think. And again, this is by request. So stay with us. We've got a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to come. It's Friday. We'll also get some new music on. Stay with us, everybody.
Be familiar with his name. But you know his work. Have you heard of Coolie High or Good Times? He created both of them. He was the driving force behind the socially conscious sitcoms that were produced by Norman Lear, including All in the Family, Maude, Sanford and Son, The Jeffersons, What's Happening, and What's Happening Now. He assisted in creating all of those. In addition to these groundbreaking classics, he also wrote an episode of In Living Color and Moesha. Now, as you know, Eric Monty is a legend and a pioneer in the television and movie industries. He's responsible for the first successful show with the black cast since Amos and Andy. He was one of the hottest young writers in Hollywood in the 1970s. He was a trailblazer in black television by showing America and the world an authentic view of life as a black American. Now, prior to 1970, blacks were portrayed, you know, like servants, sidekicks, or clowns, and uneducated. Now, Mr. Monty created characters that were controversial and politically and socially conscious. It was the first time we saw ourselves on television living in a positive and productive way.
Thank you very much, Pierre Andre Evans, and welcome to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now, this is a very special tribute to one of the most prolific TV writers of our time, Mr. Eric Monty.
Absolutely.
Now, I've got to start off with the beginning for him, you know, growing up in Chicago's Cabrini-Green housing project.
Yeah,
Can you, first of all, you being from Chicago, would you be able to tell all of us what is the Chicago Cabrini-Green housing project?
Yes. Cabrini-Green has a history of violence. It's a large group community. It has regular projects. It has row houses. It's in the north part of Chicago. It's north. It's just a little west of downtown Chicago, which is the business district. But it's known very much for all the violence and things that have happened there. A lot of movies are shot there. Candyman, you know, TV show that was shot there. Good Times was supposed to be shot there. They did the outside from the Cabrini Green, but the interior was done in a studio. But yeah,
so
it's
that
a
exterior. Exterior on Good Times, not to interrupt you, but the exterior on Good Times, when the show is coming on and we see the big building, you know, being panned across, if you will, that's Cabrini Projects?
That's Cabrini Green, yes. And as I said, it has that, it has about, it had, because it's demolished now, but it had about four different buildings of that size. That's it's more than just one building. And they also had row houses. It was different sections to it. It was a community. It was like a ungated community. You know what I mean? It was a collection of project buildings.
Uh-huh. And now,
some
how did that shape?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. How did that shape Eric Monte's what he shared with you? How did that shape his belief system in terms of and how did that contribute to his writing?
Well, I know about him growing up in the housing projects. He, as a child, he had creative juices flowing, had deep inspirations and aspirations. He loved cowboys, you know, like Roy Rogers, Gene Autry, the Lone Ranger. And he used to ride around his house on a broomstick like it was a real horse. And one day, a white man approached him while he was playing, and he said, "Who are you supposed to be?" And Eric rolled back to the man on his little broom horse, and he said, "I'm the Lone Ranger." And the man looked at him with shock and said, "You can't be the Lone Ranger. The Lone Ranger is white." And that was a moment that he made a vow that when he grew up, he was going to make some black heroes. And he was telling that story to his mother. And as a child, his mother, her name was Eileen, she told him, "Little Eric, there has never, ever been a black writer in Hollywood. And if there would be, he would be some high yellow black with a Harvard degree, not some high school dropout from Cabrini Green." And, you know, Eric being Eric responded to his mother and said, "Mama, I'm going to do this." And one week later, he left with $5 and a suitcase. And he went out to Route 66 and hitchhiked his way to Hollywood, even though he didn't or never have even written a word before. He said, "I'm out."
Wow. Now, I want to make sure, well, first of all, folks out there, you're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now, we are chatting with Mr. Pierre-André Evans, and you've been introduced to him right here on the Hair Radio Show. Now, he has a great article that was written for SoulTrain.com. So this is an online destination, SoulTrain.com, which is where this wonderful article on the great writer, Mr. Eric Monte, is. So you can certainly go there and check it out. And Pierre, I have to say, you really, you get to the heart of this man. You get to the heart of Eric Monte. Through your work, absolutely. Now, I also want to take a moment to let all the listeners out there of Hair Radio know that at the very end of this wonderful, wonderful tribute to Mr. Eric Monte, you've got a surprise from Eric himself.
Yes, so, I do have a surprise, and we're going to save that till later.
Okay, so we'll save that to the end. So, folks, you want to stay with us. It'll be something that, right. It'll be something very special that you all out there will appreciate and enjoy. So I'm loving this. Now, a lot of folks have always wanted to know, including me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what exactly did Eric Monte share with you about when he first came, you know, to when he first came to Hollywood and even before he left Hollywood? Now, my belief is that he met Mike Evans, who we got to know as Lionel Jefferson number one and the main
Yes, the original Lionel, the real Lionel,
so to speak.
Right.
So we're going to ask you to tell us that story.
Okay. Well, but before leaving off to Hollywood, Eric and, had met Mike Evans, and they struck up a friendship, and they decided to collaborate and make things happen. He formed a partnership with Mike Evans, and as you said, that's the guy who played the original Lionel on the All in the Family, Lionel Jefferson, I mean. And they together they created Good Times, and that was based on Monty's life in Cabrini Green. And, you know, the Jeffersons, that's based on Mike Evans' life. So they first did Eric Monty's life, and then they broke off and did Mike Evans' life.
Well, I have to jump in. I've always wondered that. I never knew that the Jeffersons was Mike's side, and because we did realize that, was it a coincidence, even when you mentioned Good Times, that the family had the name Evans?
That, yes, that always, even as a child, when I grew up, people, and then I'm thin.
Right, and you're an Evans yourself.
Skin, people used to tease me and call me JJ. He said, that's your Evans family, that's your family. You know what I mean? So it wasn't funny, but I laughed at it, but I was cool. My name was on TV, so I was cool with that, but it was that's very, very coincidental.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And and Mike Evans, and Mike is actually the youngest of the Evans kids on Good Times.
Right.
So
he gave tribute to him on his show before they actually made the Jeffersons. He gave tribute to his partner, and that was cool.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay, so that's how that all came about. So this
now
is
they,
great. We're getting
a little bit
of a background.
That's how they met, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He had also once then he, going to once he got to Hollywood. I'm saying he met up with Norman Lear, and then that, he wanted to create some characters. And I don't know if you want me to go into how he created the characters or anything like that.
First of all, let's tell the folks out there. And again, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Kerry Hines, and joining me, we have Mr. Pierre-André Evans, who did a fantastic article on Eric Monty, who is the famed writer and creator from, you know, he collaborated with Norman Lear on The Jeffersons and All in the Family and so many of the TV shows that we know and love and that were absolutely hit shows. So The Jeffersons actually ran longer than All in the Family. So these are just some wonderful characters that he created, as well as what's happening now, and, of course, the number one movie of our culture, which is Coolie High.
Coolie High.
So, yeah, so he's done so much, and we wanted to pay special tribute today to give you a little bit more of some of the background and some of the wonderful anecdotes that that only Pierre can share, because you have spoken with him and you maintain a wonderful friendship with Mr.
Yes,
Eric Monty. And as we've been kind of teasing it a little bit here and there, but the issues that at the end of today's wonderful journey, we're going to have a little bit of an update directly from Eric Monty to share with specifically for the fans of the Hair Radio Show. So we want you to stay with us for all of that. Now, I really have a big interest in talking about some of the TV characters that he created along the way. I want to focus for a moment on Good Times and the whole issue surrounding James.
Yeah.
The whole issue surrounding the famous, you know, what was that line that Florida said?
Damn, James. I know that's one that she always, that's a famous line from there. Absolutely.
Exactly. It's one of the most memorable lines in TV history.
Yes,
and
it is.
We want to, is there anything you can tell us about, you know, I think, you know, that that Eric talks about the whole thing surrounding James and how it appeared that, you know, how they felt about having a strong black male character exactly. in the way that he believed. So why don't you share that story?
Okay. Eric was very, very persistent in keeping James as a character. Now, you know, the late Esther Rolle, that was his wife, Florida, on a TV show, she's gone down on record saying that she would not do a TV show shown all around the world about a black woman with three kids and no husband. Now, she said, I won't do that. Liz's response was that America did not want to see a strong black man on television. Now, she won that round, and the great John Amos was brought in to play James Evans Sr. Now, did you know that after every episode of Good Times, the network notes contained the same request, and it said, get rid of the father. Now, since they thought that a strong black male character did not work in a sitcom, that's what they wanted to do. Now, Monty and Evans rebelled against Lear, and he wanted to write the father out of the show and embellish the stereotypical JJ character, you know, and just put a lot of attention on
sure.
JJ.
Now, we want to remind everyone that all of this is written in your article at SoulTrain.com, so they can read the exact words and, you know, the comments. And these, you know, and all this that is said by Mr. Eric Monty directly.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I just want folks to know that these are not our words. These are the words of Mr. Eric Monty and his experience that he had while he felt, when he was at working with CBS and working with the great Norman Lear as well. So,
These are his experience and his words, correct.
Wow. Now, so go right ahead. Male character.
Right. He said that Eric Monty stated that working on Good Times was real hard because all of the white writers wanted to do stereotypical roles, and he refused that. Every week he'd argue and fight, and they would ignore what he suggested and take all that, yes, sir, boss, you know, all that rooting to, yeah, yes, sir, yes, sir. They wanted to take that stuff to the cast, and John Amos and Esther Rolle, they wasn't having it, and they would have a fit. Then they'd give them what he wrote, what Eric Monty wrote, and then the cast would like that. So they were trying to push on the old stereotypical role, but Eric Monty wanted to progress. And then they'd shoot it, and then it would go on the air. Then the next week, it was the same fight all over again. Now, originally, Eric Monty pictured J.J. as a street-smart hustler who drove his honest, hard-working parents crazy. Eventually, they killed off James Evans, and the promotion of J.J.'s character got bigger, but the show didn't begin to keep the audience at hand, and it began to devolve into a less socially uplifting production. So with the demise of James, it lost a lot of characters, a lot of followers, a lot of viewers, and by them focusing on J.J. more, it became more of a Three Stooges-type movie than a socially conscious show that it had once been. So killing James actually killed the show.
Wow. Now, the show did go on, though, for a little while.
Oh, absolutely. It went on. It went on, yes.
But you're saying, Eric Monty is saying that the level of quality and what was the initial... The impetus behind it certainly kind of waned after they killed off the James character.
Right, because James gave it that strong father figure role, and he did, you know, like punishing the kids and all that kind of stuff. And once that was good values to teach the viewers, and with him gone, it became more of a comedy. They made points every now and then, but it became more of a sit down and laugh instead of a learning experience that it used to be. Yeah.
Well, I have to say, I was an avid watcher, of course, like many of you guys out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, after James had died, I had every week, I just hoped that he would come back through the door and see, because James had gone off to that pipeline, to work on the pipeline, I think, in somewhere out on the West Coast, somewhere Pacific West, somewhere. And I said, gee, wouldn't it be great, because maybe he could say Florida, I'm back. I really wasn't dead.
Or
something.
All right.
Yeah, baby, I'm back. Well, that was another show.
Yeah, right.
That was another show. But the whole idea behind that, and when they brought in Carl, I knew that was it for James.
They have moved on.
And he was the antithesis of the James character.
Up
he was
down.
Not the street. Yeah, James just had, a look. He could just, the whole look, was so strong and menacing that
he was a strong black male role model. He was, actually, for a lot of people growing up that didn't have fathers at home, because there's a lot of single parents growing up in that time, he was a lot of people's surrogate father. Actually.
Right, exactly.
And people learned a lot
exactly.
from James for those that didn't
exactly.
have fathers at home. So
I totally concur.
Yes.
Very, very good. And speaking of his great characters, now, I have to tell you, I absolutely love the character of George Jefferson, too. And I know you may have not just outright asked him about George, but I love Sherman Hemsley. He was, from my home in Philadelphia. I got a chance to sit right next to him at the Arsenio Hall show. So I've great memories of this man and the character that he brought in when he was finally introduced on the All in the Family show.
Okay.
Because I know that Lionel was the first character who was introduced of the Jeffersons, and they kind of worked them all in and all of that. So talking a little bit about that, that was very interesting. And then in 1975, The Great Cooley High was released in the movie theaters and received rave reviews. So, and I believe it was even had been ranked by Entertainment Weekly as one of the best high school movies of all time.
Of all time, yes.
So
that was
tell us, absolutely, what did Eric Monte share about his experiences of writing Cooley High? Tell us about that.
Yes. Okay, with Cooley High, he went on, he really wanted to show that is an actual life story of his, too. That's him in high school. That's him. That's his life in high school.
Which character was based on him?
Preach, the black one with the glasses. That's the one that's based on him. JJ is him on Good Times. And Raj is him on What's Happening. So if you notice, they're all
he
seeing
him. He always wrote from his
experience.
Always. Wow. Okay. Wow. Very interesting. Okay.
Now, with the success of his film, Cooley High, behind him, he wanted to develop a TV version of that, and that's what Happening is. What's Happening, he developed that for ABC. Now, ABC's ethics and acceptance of black manhood was just as short-sighted, as it was on CBS when he was trying to promote James with the station. They weren't really following that. Now, according to sources, ABC would not greenlight the adaptation of Cooley High unless the character of the handsome Cochise was replaced. Now, reports say that ABC did not want young white girls swooning over a young, handsome black kid. Now, ironically, however, Lawrence Hilton Jacobs, that's the one who played him, played Cochise in the movie, he wound up as a sweat hog on ABC's hit show, Welcome Back, Carter. What's Happening became the first African-American teen sitcom to break into the Nielsen ratings, and that's quite an accomplishment. But as always,
it
they had a fight.
It certainly was. Wow.
They had a fight.
Well, I do want to jump in and say that with regards to, the allegations about the, whether ABC and how they felt about the, having a young, attractive African-American male, kind of leading the show. There have been some conversations we've heard on our show and out there in the public. But again, we want to remind everybody, now this is your interview, Mr. Pierre-André Evans, with Mr. Eric Monte. Eric Monte, again, who is the famed writer and creator of many of these, of television history with these sitcoms. Mm-hmm. So we're excited to have his own words being, shared with us today. And
these
again,
are his
this is all. These are his views and his words. And again, the article can be found on online at soultrain.com. So, and written by our very own Mr. Pierre-André Evans, and we're so excited to have you with us. So,
pleasure to be here.
So now we're talking, and he went on, Lawrence Hilton Jacob went on to great success, so we don't have to feel badly about that for him. He went on to great success in doing that and some other things along the way. The Jeffersons, as I indicated earlier, just kind of went on and lived on and took on. Every one of these shows had been a hit, become a hit.
Yeah.
Every one of them had become a hit.
And a lot of them are still playing back-to-back. They have marathons, you know, the Good Times Marathon, the Jeffersons Marathon. What's happened to this day? They still have marathons of his show. They have never went off the air from the day that they were created.
Now tell us, what has Eric been up to since he left, or since the show stopped major production? What did he do in those in-between years? Did he share any of that about his own personal journey?
His own personal journey, yes. He had a lot going on. And are you referring to after the shows?
After the success of the shows, correct. What happened after that?
Okay,
after they went off the air and stuff, you know, in terms of the first run shows.
He ran into a legal situation. Would you like for me to touch on that area?
Well, just go ahead and share. I mean, this is all, you know, it's out there.
Well, yeah. Well, unfortunately for Eric Monty, he had a lack of business knowledge and experience, as well as legal representation, which resulted in him losing ownership rights to most of his creations, as well as the financial benefits that go along with them. He didn't have contracts signed. He claimed his TV ideas were stolen from him in the 1970s, and in around 1977, he filed a lawsuit against Norman Lear, CBS, and ABC. And in 1974, he got the contract to write Cooley High. Now, when AIP, that's the people that organized the cast and crew, when they sent the cast to Chicago to shoot the movie, Eric quit Norman's company. And the following year, he came out with the Jeffersons. Now, Monty claimed that they stole his idea for All in the Family, the Jeffersons, Good Times, and What's Happening. Now, he sued them, but after winning the lawsuit, he was blacklisted in Hollywood, and he had been blacklisted all the way up until the present day. Now, as soon as he filed that suit, all of his offers that he had on the table for different productions dried up. Nobody in Hollywood would talk to him. He was blacklisted, and in 79, both of his shows that he created with Mike Evans, and that's the Good Times and What's Happening. Now, Mike Evans went back to his role as Lionel Jefferson, and Monty made a spinoff of the successful show What's Happening. And if you remember that, that was What's Happening Now. The spinoff ran until around 1988, but Monty then had spent most of the settlement money on a production of his original play that we've never seen called If They Ever Come Back. The outcome of the play was a commercial failure. And going through all of that sent Monty into a downward spiral. This was in around 79, around 79, in the early 80s is when he really went into a downward spiral. And he fell on hard times. And he was even homeless. And he's quoted as saying, "My living in the streets and the shelters and me being broke, I see that as a minor inconvenience." He said, "Life is way too short for me to let some idiotic thing like that make me unhappy." He said he's not sad about anything, and he said he's happier. he just said he's happy, and he said his work isn't over. Now, what the settlement actually was, he received $1 million and 1% of royalties on the DVD sales of Good Times. That's all that he received, and he hasn't got anything since that. But they gave him $1 million, gave him 1% on just the DVD sales of Good Times, and told him to be on your way, and you'll never work again. But like I said, when I was telling you about that play, if they ever come back, he used all of that $1 million to promote his play. Nobody came to see it. So that's what sent him into depression, homelessness, bankruptcy. And he was just on the streets out in California and in Atlanta. And that's a sad story, but he pulled himself back up. That's rough.
He pulled himself back out and back up. And we want folks to know. And it was important that we got it out there that, you know, after having such amazing success, and we're not talking about on a little scale, we're talking about amazing success with creating television history, you know, and not being business savvy and not, you know, and being happy to have a few dollars in your pocket and notoriety, you know, it can happen to, not only could it happen, but it has happened to many folks. From our community who embarked upon careers in entertainment.
We were taking advantage of because of our lack of knowledge.
Okay, so we want to make sure that, again, just to remind the folks that this is all based on a wonderful profile that was done by our very special guest, Mr. Pierre-André Evans, who's with us right now, and you hear his voice along with mine. Talking about this wonderful tribute to Mr. Eric Monte, the creator of so many wonderful comedy shows that we know and the great Cooley High movie. Now, what is Eric working on today? What is Eric working on today? And can you bring us up to speed on how is Eric doing health-wise and so forth?
Yeah. Well, right now, he's authored two books. He has a book called Blueprints for Peace, and he has another book entitled A Prophet Ran Away. And he's trying to branch out into writing, and he's also still producing new ventures. It's the anniversary of Cooley High this year, so some work's going on with that. And he has had 7 or 8 strokes in the past 10 years. And I was just with him November. That was November. I was with him out in Vegas. I did a show out in Vegas, and we did a tribute to him. And we asked him to come to Vegas so we could present him with a plaque for making an outstanding contribution to the black community. And prior to that, I've been in touch with him, and he wasn't really able to speak clearly. His speaking in his mind is coming clear, but out of his mouth, the connection between his brain and his vocal cords, it gets lost in translation. And in his head, he may want to say, "Hey, Pierre, how are you doing?" And what will come out of his mouth would be, "Chicken, computer, brown, go." And then you have to learn his language, because being around him a long time, you'll know that computer may mean facts, or computer may mean this. You know what I mean? So he's created his own language. So the best way for him to communicate is either through text or through email. But with that being said, he blew my mind when he came to Vegas. And we presented it with him with the award, and we were on stage, and I handed him the mic. And he talked just as clear as I did. He was like, "Thank you so much. I'd like to thank you all. It was really great writing, good times. I'm glad I touched all of you all's heart. I'm humbled." And I'm looking at him like, these people, I just told the people in the audience that he just had 7 strokes and he can't talk. And he's talking clearer than I am. And that blew my mind. So afterwards, I said, "What happened?" I said, "It's a miracle." And he said, "No, Pierre, when I get real, real excited, then my words flow out." He said, "But just on a normal basis, I really can't communicate." And his famous line is, "I can't talk. I had a stroke." That's all he get out. That's his famous line. He'll tell everyone. But he's doing much better. He's happy. He's on his feet. He's happy. That's the main thing. He's happy. And that's his favorite slogan that he says, "Have a happy."
Have a happy. We love it. And on that note, I want to take a moment to thank you, Mr. Pierre-André Evans, for sharing your wonderful article that you've written, which was really the impetus of today's show, and tribute to Mr. Eric Monte. Now, I promised and I teased everybody earlier, and I know that you have a very special gift that Eric Monte has given you that's for us here at Hair Radio. So I'm going to let you take it away.
Okay. Well, before that, I just want to thank you, Carrie, for inviting me to the show. And it's really a pleasure and an honor for me to be here. Thank you so much, man.
Terrific. My pleasure.
All right. Now, this is a letter from Mr. Eric Monte, just written today. And he was very persistent and wanted me to read this to you, Carrie, as well as the audience. And here it goes. Congratulations, Carrie Hines, on your return to radio and the return to the Hair Radio Show. Sorry I couldn't talk to you, but I had a stroke and I can't talk. My speech sucks, but my brain works fine. Thank you for having me. I started writing so I could change the way we were being portrayed on TV, and I did that. I was tired of the stereotypes. I created TV shows that we could be proud of. Everything that I wrote is still being played 40 years later and is still relevant today. On some stations, they play Good Times, The Jeffersons, and What's Happening back to back all day. Everything that I have written has been a hit, from movies to TV, and I ain't finished yet. I currently have my book, A Prophet Runaway, for sale on my website, which is ericmontepublishing.com. That's ericmontepublishing.com. It's a romantic historical fiction novel based on Nat Turner. It's way better than anything I have written. You can order it from my website. Again, ericmontepublishing.com. And he writes, please buy my book, and he has a smiley face. Next year will be the 40th anniversary of Cooley High. I am planning a rescreening in Chicago, and I am also in talks about doing a remake of Cooley High. You will hear more from me real soon. I'm not dead yet, smiley face. Eric Monte, have a happy. That's to you and the fans.
Thank you. Thank you so very much, Pierre-André Evans, on
you
the words directly from Eric Monte. I tell you, I want to say again, we can't say enough to pay tribute to this wonderful trailblazer. It's like there's just not enough words, really.
That's right.
And,
he touched all America, especially
he touched all
America.
Of America.
Yeah.
Right, especially, and you know, and I can say I kind of think equally. Because it changed and moved the dial ahead on the thinking process, and when you can do that, you've just done something that is completely that's miraculous. So we want to thank him, and we wish him all the continued success, and wish him well.
Absolutely.
And we can't wait to see him, and just, you know, again, we wish him all the best. So and we also want to take a moment to wish you the very best as well. Okay, Pierre.
Thank you.
So.
Thank
and we're going to look for some great upcoming reports and entertainment right here on the Hair Radio Show for you. So we'll keep the fans out there, up to speed on when to expect you on a regular basis and your contributions to us here at the Hair Radio Show.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to being the entertainment reporter. Sounds good. I can't wait. I'm excited.
Terrific. Glad to have you. Folks, keep it right here. There's more of the Hair Radio Show to come. Stay with us.
Now you can listen to our 24/7 Hair Radio Broadcast Network and shop all in the same place. Go to hairradio.com. We've got around-the-clock hair and beauty radio talk. And while you're there, buy your favorite books, hair products, tickets to live hair and beauty events, and much more. And if you'd like to feature your products in our hairradio.com website store or be a guest on the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, contact us at hairradio.com and reach the world.
This is Queen Treat, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air.
I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details. Listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, my very special guest is from the world of theater. Her name is Doris Garrett. Good morning, Doris, and welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Now, the folks out there certainly know the amazing production that you are connected with. It's called Beauty Shop. And I have to start here. Your husband, the amazing playwright and just pure genius in my book and the book of the world out here to the public, Mr. Shelley Garrett, the late Shelley Garrett, I just have to say, just on behalf of everybody at the Hair Radio Morning Show, he was a friend and a special guest here on our program. And just an awesome gentleman, and I just wanted to express that to you, that sentiment, and speak to you a little bit about celebrating the life of this amazing gentleman and the amazing legacy that you are continuing here. So welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Thank you, and thank you for the kind words concerning my husband.
Absolutely. Now, I have to say, Mrs. Doris Garrett, you have to tell us. Can you talk a little bit about the amazing play, about Beauty Shop and some of the amazing memories that you guys have associated with it?
Shelley is the writer, director, and he was producer before I came on and took over that position. It's been touring the United States for over 33 years. He started in 33 years ago, but he was doing a tour for 30 years.
Right. So that is amazing. And I have to tell you, I've got to tell all of our listeners in full disclosure, I had an opportunity, of course, to come out and see the wonderful touring of the 30th anniversary that you guys, when you toured through my neck of the woods here in Brooklyn, New York. So I just have to, I've got to go back because I wanted to find out. I know that you have, you've long had a big interest in theater. This is not something that just kind of started. So what was it that, what sparks your interest about the theater? What is it that is so exciting to you?
Well, I do have a BA in theater. I graduated from Albany State University. Yes. And I've always been interested in acting. I actually wanted to have acting as a background because I was trying to get into modeling. But that bug stuck with me. So
okay.
I turned to theater more so than modeling. And it was just a blessing that after retiring at age 40, because I was working with an engineering company, and I decided to go back into my major, which was speech and theater, and then that's when I met Shelley. So it was just like, it was like meant to be.
Yes, and I have to say, it has long been one of my favorite memories meeting the two of you guys. I cannot say and stress it enough. So I'm not going to, because I will fan out, so I'm not going to do that. I'm going to hold it together for you guys. So I do want to talk a little bit more about this celebration, if you will, of the anniversary of the play. And also, what's happening, of course, right now, everything is on pause at the moment. So you guys out there listening right now, whenever you do hear this, so just at this current time, we're not able to do, nobody's able to do pretty much anything right now. But what are some of the plans going forward, Doris? What are you looking to do in the way of Shelley's legacy?
Well, Shelley, again, always toured in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to take it out of the country. I think that would, Shelley didn't fly, so he was.
Oh, is that right? He didn't like to fly?
No, he stopped flying in 1980.
Oh, wow.
He said that the flight was smooth. There was no problems, but he just had a feeling.
He
made
wow.
a promise to God that if he landed safely, he wouldn't have to ask him that ever again. So
wow.
In 1980, he stopped flying. So even though we lived in Atlanta, whenever we had to go to California or wherever, we always drove. Now, we would always fly the cast. But Shelley and I drove.
Wow. But that also makes, that made for a lot of fun times on the road and good memories.
It did. It really did. I'm constantly telling my friends and family members that they're missing out on a lot when they're just flying from different locations.
Exactly.
Because of the scenery and stopping and shopping and just enjoying.
Exactly.
You know, different
That's
places.
Part of-
yeah.
That was a big part of the fun, you know.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
See, and I'll tell you, now some of the folks, you know, in terms of talking about Beauty Shop, the play, and the huge amount of, you know, all of the wonderful things, I remember in talking with Shelley back in 2016 here on our broadcast, he was sharing with us about some of the amazing folks who came through the doors. He ushered
mm-hmm.
in a lot of little-known talent at that time, and they were joining his cast, you know, being part of the cast and getting their first taste of exposure. So when you talk to some of these folks, you know, what comes to mind?
Well, I know that he started, you asked me the question as far as what careers he started.
Well, I mean, you know, he started some of these amazing folks, like the gentleman who passed away from Tommy Ford from Martin, and quite a few others from Steve Harvey's show. I know he's helped to usher in their careers.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just wondering, in addition to a whole bunch of others, so when you hear, like, you know, some of these folks you may still keep in touch with, does it give you a good feeling to know that he helped to launch these careers in a big way?
It does, because, first of all, Shelley always wanted to give back. And when not only did he launch their careers, but he was also constantly looking for new talent to
mm-hmm.
to also launch their careers as well. The most recent person, I should say, was Miss Juicy from the Ricky Smalley Show.
Yes.
Well, actually, she was in Shelley's play before she actually was on Ricky Smalley's show, and then now she's with Little Women of Atlanta. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's not in addition to a long line of others, and I
oh,
do
yeah.
mean a long line. Okay,
yes.
let me just say that out there. So he had an incredible eye
mm-hmm.
For talent.
Yes.
Yes. And so I'm very excited, Ms. Doris Garrett, to have you on the show. And I'll tell you, no, I really remember this so well. You were so kind and gracious. You guys
oh,
really
thank
were.
You.
I mean, it's, you know, I really can't say any more than that. So I just want to tell you that from all of us, we are celebrating, you know, the amazing contribution of black hair to the landscape. And we certainly could not do it without paying tribute to the one and only Mr. Shelley Garrett. So
and
I
appreciate that. Thank you so much. We're still going to be, again, I promised Shelley to keep his legacy going. So my daughters and I are going to do just that. We are looking forward to 2021.
And I'm hoping you'll come out to our Hair Nation Expo and some of our wonderful things that we have to do just that.
Well, I look forward to it. That would be
yeah.
great.
And you have a home here. And, you know, we're going to do some things, and we're going to, you know, I certainly will let you know, because we have some wonderful ideas in mind to definitely to preserve that legacy, and we're going to do that here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Doris, is there any lasting thoughts you want to leave us with today, anything that you want to share?
Well, Shelley always, you know, when he was talking to people and trying to encourage them to, you know, to go on with their dreams, he always used to say, believe in yourself. And also, why not you? You know, there are a lot of celebrities and people doing their own business or have already made it and they're successful. So he always asked the question, why not you? So don't let anybody else tell you that you can't do it, because you can. You just have to believe in yourself.
Wow. On that note, I want to thank you, Doris Garrett of the Beauty Shop Plays. Thank you so much for being with us, the executive producer of the Beauty Shop Plays. You guys are going to have to stay in touch with us here at the Hair Radio Morning Show, and we'll continue, of course, to put you in touch with the amazing Doris Garrett and her folks. Doris, thanks again for being with us on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate you.
You got it. All right, folks, keep it right here. We've got a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
Now you can listen to our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network and shop all in the same place. Go to hairradio.com. We've got around-the-clock hair and beauty radio talk. And while you're there, buy your favorite books, hair products, tickets to live hair and beauty events, and much more. And if you'd like to feature your products in our hairradio.com website store or be a guest on the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, contact us at hairradio.com and reach the world.
Welcome, people.
At the all-natural
we are the all-natural corner. 12,000 rooms. We cater to all-natural body treatments, body products, skincare at the all-natural corner. Yeah, we got things for health, wealth. Why not make your beauty more beautiful? At the all-natural corner. We got all natural products. We love the community. At the all natural corner. You can get it all.
At the all natural corner.
All you can come and get. At the all natural corner.
at the All Natural Corner.
At the All
Tell
Natural
them what
Corner.
You think. Yes, I was there and I talked to the manager and he let me know that All Natural products was good for my body. He had 102 minerals for me and I was good, you know. I'm going to come back all the time because it's all right at the All Natural Corner. I can't say anything else.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines. Stay tuned.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Hi, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new, yes, the Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It's Wednesday morning, July 7th. Of 2021. And if it's Wednesday morning, 8:30 Eastern Time, 7:30 Central, it's time to bring to the line a gentleman that you guys have gotten to know quite well. It is my honor to welcome back on this blustery morning here in New York, the one and only Smooth Black, a.k.a. Troy Ballard. Good morning, and welcome. Welcome back to the airwaves. Good morning, Smooth Black.
Good morning, Gary. How are you doing, Gary?
I'm doing just fantastic. We kind of missed you here. It's been a little time we had a little break and stuff. So how are you out there in California?
Man, I'm great, Ken. You know, I just turned 54. God
oh,
is good.
That is good. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, I got to catch up with you. We'll park it there. On that note, congratulations. I'm just teasing out there. I'm so happy for you. So did you do anything special for your birthday?
I think about, the 3rd of July and the 4th of July. So everybody gets to celebrate my birthday with me. So it was
absolutely
awesome.
The entire country.
Yeah. I had to go to San Diego and watch the fireworks.
How beautiful.
It was really beautiful. It was a beautiful evening.
Yeah.
Great food. Oh, man, I had a ball. Fresh fish.
San Diego was so clean. I remember living out there. It was so beautiful and clean. Always so very clean out there. And you're up early. Speaking of California, you're in Southern California. You listen in and you participate and get on the mic every Wednesday morning, 8:30. It's time for Smooth Black, as I just said in the intro, and I'm just so happy to have you with us today. Now, you know how you always, yes, you're a hair industry legend. You are known for providing all aspects of hair care to the entire family. You are well known for coloring, for cutting, for being quite a person with a great reputation in this business. We're just going to put it on out there. But I do always want to remind folks, I mean, you're very kind. You always start with inspiring us. You keep us, yes, you keep us informed. And we're going to get into some nitty-gritty hair talk in just a moment. But you always lead in with some inspirational words that kind of help us to navigate our week. Each week we can kind of bookmark each Wednesday when you're on. Now, today is a very, very, very important Wednesday. We just have some breaking news that we've been covering here at Hair Radio, the Hair Radio Morning Show, and we'll continue to cover it on our 24-hour network over at hairadio.com, where the president of Haiti, the actual president, was assassinated this morning. So early Wednesday morning, yes, on this July 7th of 2021, we just wanted to take a moment to think about the folks of Haiti. And if you have any words of comfort, we would appreciate hearing them this morning. Smooth Black.
Well, Gary, first of all, I got to give honor to God, and I thank God for my relationship with him. I thank God for Jesus, my Savior, who died that we may have a right to eternal life. But I thank God mostly for giving me my health and my strength, and he wakes us up every morning. So You know,
yes,
you gotta just learn His word. You know, as long as you, you know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And each day, you know, is our morning bread. You need to just take some time and open your Bible and pray and meditate and get some word and hide that word in your heart. You know, God said Psalms 119, He's hid that word in your heart that we might not sin against us. And you know, the main thing, God just wants us to sin less. Anyway, so that's the basics of it all. But I just want people to know that, you know, it's important to have a relationship. And in life, we have to relate to one another every day. And first of all, you know, charity starts at home. You got to love yourself. Once you learn you love yourself, you'll love everything else in life. So when I fell in love with Jesus, my life changed because He showed me who I was. And, you know, it just brings, when He say, this is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice. Again, I say rejoice and be glad in it. So, you know, this is the day I thank God that He woke me up this morning, you know, and I'm on the air morning radio with Carrie Hines, you know. So, Carrie, there's a lot to be grateful for today. And even as those people in Haiti, you know, it's like assassination. Wow. You know, the devil's busy, you know, and you know, you take the head, you know, they say everything else is going to crumble. But I pray for Haiti right now that God would just send everything that they need, God, to just, you know, to strengthen their economy, give them a leader that's after your heart, God, and, you know, and bless them and keep them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Wow.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I have to say, Smooth Black, a.k.a. Troy Ballard, legendary hairstylist, if you will. Now, I want to kind of talk about this because it is the summer, and we have to talk about beach hair. we got to call beach hair. Let me spell that: B-E-A-C-H, beach hair. yes, very important there. And Troy, what do you say to a lot of the ladies who are looking to go out to come to our own type of events that we'll talk about in just a moment? And what can they wear? The good news is I know that you are an expert cutter. I know you do everything, but I know that you are amazing with color and cutting. And these are some of the main attributes of summer hair staples in my book. But what about yours? What do you say?
Oh, well, Carrie, you know, I recently came back. I was visiting my daughter who lives in San Marcos, which is right next to San Diego, California. Yeah, she graduated. She has a B.S. in biological science.
Right.
To be a doctor. But,
wonderful. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, Carrie. We went to the beach, and, you know, one thing I noticed was the colors that were popping. I seen this one Caucasian lady. She had the red, the green, the purple, and it was a short cut. It was just awesome. You know, I had to stop and take a picture of it. You know.
Wow.
It was that,
what did she say when you when you asked her to take a picture?
Tilted her head and back and started modeling for me.
Everybody loves being on camera. Everybody's a star.
But the cut was, I had to compliment her stylist. I said, whoever did that work, they're on point. The colors were intense. I mean, you know, when you say red, the red was popping. The blue, I mean, someone really knew, because coloring is very technical, and once you learn how to, you know, lift the hair properly and to be able to deposit another color on top of that, it's tremendous. And there's so many lines out there that you can use, you know. And, you know, I love my line by Shanice from Beverly Hills. And, you know, everything that I want, the pre-lightening phase, the, you know, the lifting, because I'm able now to, you know, even with relaxed hair, you know, 80% of my clientele, I'd say, is short hair. The other 20%, you know, long, you know, is but everybody comes for that cut. And for someone who can cut in this day and age right now, you should never be broke, because we are essential workers, Karen. Yeah, and you know, there's a lot going on. A new bill's going to be passed, SB 8 or something. I can't quote it right now, but that
we'll have to get the details, everybody.
Yeah, I want to share that with you, Karen, because it's gonna, you know, not me. I'm a seasoned stylist, But for the, you know, the new babies that are coming up, the next generation, they're trying to change stuff with the sanitation and where we go 1,600 hours. They're going to cut that to like 1,000 hours, you know, so the education and the, you know, they're going to take a lot of portions out of it that really, because it's just, you know, right now you go, you get the basics, and you're going to have to get out here and learn how to swim as a stylist, right?
Exactly.
So, but the big corporations like Fantastic Sam, Supercuts, Mastercuts, the chains, they're going to control everything because it's going to be harder for that individuals even to get the experience because everything's going to big corporations and the small businesses that we do. Oh, because, you know, me as a, you know, for over 20 years a salon owner and being a black stylist, you know, that was one business factor that, you know, we always had, you know. But the mom and pop stores, you know, everything from McDonald's, Taco Bell, they're big chains. I mean, you don't have the small business essential. And really they're trying to get away from that in our industry in the future.
Exactly.
But so, you know, those are some things that are coming up, Carrie, that are really touching to me because, you know, I got all this knowledge I want to share. You know, you know, and they say knowledge is supposed to be sold and not told. But, you know, I always welcome scholars that come and they'll glean off me. They can come and watch me and observe, you know. And, you know, even
I'm going to steal that lie. Knowledge is supposed to be told. Sold and not told. Oh, how does that line go again?
You got it right. Knowledge is supposed to be sold and not told. You'll
not
appreciate
sold
something
okay.
more when you earn it. You know, or just like going to college to get that education, you know, although it's going to cost you for that education, but you still have to take the time to study, you know, and it's long suffering that, you know. So those are the rewards if you really commit yourself to something in life. And as you were saying in your last segment, you know, if you only believe, you know. And
that's right.
And, yeah. It's awesome.
That's right. And that was the amazing Doris Garrett. Who was the wife of the playwright, Shelley Garrett, who they made the beauty shop plays that Queen Latifah starred in the movie and all these other Vivica Fox and all these folks have done as movies. And he really created the career of Mr. Tyler Perry, who used to go and watch his plays. So we always love to pay tribute to the late Shelley Garrett and salute his wife, Doris Garrett, who's continuing his legacy. Now, I've got to say, yes, thank you. Thank you for the reminder of that. And speaking of reminders, we want to let everybody know, coming up very, very, very soon, today is broadcast show number 581. And for those of you who are keeping count along with us each day right here live on the Hair Radio Morning Show, we're super, super happy because we're marching in about 19 shows, if you've done the math. We're going to be up to show number 600, and each show is 3 hours. So that's going to bring us up to a total of about 1,800 hours of listening to the Hair Radio Show. So that's quite a bit. Yes. What do you say, Smooth Black, K.A. Troy Ballard, when you hear that we are approaching 600th broadcast of the All New Hair Radio Morning Show? And you're part of this family now.
Amen. But that's just 600 broadcasts. People were being blessed to hear something that was going to encourage them and, you know, set them aflame.
Yes.
So it's awesome, you know, and look forward to the future. And as it grows, you know, God has great things in store for the Hair and Radio Nation and all of that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And we love that. And it's been a big thing for us, and we are going to continue. You mentioned about some of the things, some of the guidelines that they seem to be wavering here and there when it comes to such things in the hair business and the hair industry and licensing. And you guys, that's why it's so critical to pay attention to hair radio. We do try to follow these things from state to state. They vary. And some of the states that are trying to get laws passed to kind of do away with the professional license. And so we want just to make, and this is something that is just not, doesn't, it lands like a thud on the floor for us, okay? This is something that we've got to continue to pay attention to. Licensing is critical and important, and in those states where it is even required that you continue with your ongoing credits. It's not here in my neck of the woods so much, but where a lot of you guys are, it is. And so please remember that we've got to support the hair and beauty industry. So sorry, I didn't mean to hijack your time. Smooth black this morning, but this is something that I get very upset about and passionate about, and wanted to remind folks we've got to stay vigilant always for these little laws and little things that kind of pop up. From time to time to try to derail the industry, so we don't want that.
Once it's written into law, you know, slavery was a law at one time. So
exactly.
That's binding, you know, and you know they're really trying to take a stronghold. And from my standpoint as a stylist, and this is to them that are out there that are hearing, from being a salon owner. Or independent contractor, or commission salary stylist, wherever you go. If you go to a Fantastic Sam Supercuts, you're going to be salary commission. But what they're doing, for me, I always love, they hate this word, booth rent. But now they've gotten away from booth rent now because now I'm an independent contractor, so I have to lease my space where I work in, whether it's a solar salon or you're still in an open bay. So it's a lot of opportunities that we do have as a stylist, because now it's really time to really brand yourself. You are Supercuts. You are Mastercuts. You are Smooth Black. You know, you are Kerry Hines, and it's all about building you up. But you have to, they say skills pay the bills. So, knowledge, we perish for lack of knowledge. That's why education is so important. So, in this day and time, what separates me from the stylist that's coming in the door that's a novice and inexperienced, it's important that you get around people who are doing what you do and love to do what you do, and, find your lane, stay in it. If you learn every aspect of it, from coloring to relaxing that hair to cutting, it's just amazing how much money you can generate in this business. And that's what they have come to realize, Kerry, during the pandemic, is that stylists make good money. And I'm telling everyone out there that, we got to get our acts together, because, I learned a long time ago, Kerry, paying my taxes, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, because what they're going to do by going to corporations, everybody's going to come in and we're going to track your money. It's like they track
money
in Zelle or PayPal or Cash App. We got a way to know, if you report, I want to buy a home in California, and, it's going to, the house I really want to live in is going to be over $500,000, but I can't go to my mortgage company or my lenders and put on my taxes. I only made $30,000, So what they're trying to do is regulate that. So I'm just people that are stylists and you want to continue on and do the right thing, pay your taxes, learn how to pay yourself. And, God will make everything just smooth, and we can continue this in our industry, I love it.
Speaking of smooth, I want to just tell you what you just said is an important mouthful. We have folks, I'm going to get on this amazing lady. She is with ADP, the actual payroll company. And I love her because what she does, she helps, it doesn't matter what state you're in. She will take calls and literally consult with folks. Even if you only have one person in your business or corporation, she will help you set up your payroll through ADP, the famous payroll company, where you are paying yourself regularly, and any of the other vendors or folks, or even if you happen to have employees, or if you don't, they will help get all of that stuff set up and can hit a button and keep track of all of that is that you're responsible for as a business or LLC. Now, I always tell everybody it is very, very, very important. And we'll talk about it on some of the upcoming shows because this is a big topic and a big subject for us. We have hairpreneurs that we've already put in our website store. You guys can go over to hairradio.com, that's HAIradio.com, and download our Hairpreneur series, which starts which is available for like $4 or something in the store there. And you get to own your own episode. So we're going to talk about that. And I would love for you to be, you need to be a special guest on one of these episodes because you have so much, Troy Ballard. You have so much to share. You have, you're talking about decades of experience in this business that we can't just find any old place. We can't just find it. Now, you're coming out to the East Coast. You're coming back, I'm going to say, to our side of the country. I can't wait to be in the same time zone with you again. It's been many years.
I've been on the plane some years, Gary. So.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. So we're talking about the Road to Healthy Hair. That's coming up August 21st, 22nd, and 23rd of this year, 2021, at the Showboat Hotel in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Our complete details are available at our website, our website for that is hairnationexpo.biz. hairnationexpo.biz has complete details of our event because it's really a Hair Radio, Hair Nation Expo event, but it's the Road to Healthy Hair. That's what it's called, Road to Healthy Hair. And we've got the one and only Mr. Troy Ballard on Smooth Black. You guys know him, along with so many others who are coming to this event. And wall-to-wall vendors, so for those of you looking for hair products, we've got the very best. So Smooth Black, what are you looking to bring out to the East Coast?
I'm coming, that's one. But, you know,
yes.
I just want to be able to, captivate an audience, looking for some great models. That's one thing I think I'll need, anybody looking for a great cut, talent. Just to be a model, but the platform, I've got some great shears I'm bringing out there. Looking forward to anybody, Pacific Instruments. That's a company that I work with right now that,
shears are important because it's hard to find good ones, right? For those who cut. So, what do you say about that? That is a good, lead. That you're sharing with us right now? Because I think that's important to have the right tools.
Yeah, whether you cut right-handed or left-handed, I'm going to be prepared. Skills pay the bills, and, you got to invest into your products that you
craft,
use. So
right?
I try to, but the shears that I'm bringing, they're economical because, my shears that I pay for run $700-$800. But the ones bringing, I'll be retailing at $250. Give me the price now if you want to prepare yourself. It's going to be a nice little set, a couple of pair of shears, some combs, and, everything that I use in my, venue that I cut hair in my technique. So that's what I'm going to bring, a lot of knowledge, and I hope people are there to absorb it, because I can give it to you, but what you going to do with it? That's why I always ask the students, because
we're going to take a lot of pictures. We're going to take a lot of pictures. So we are just so happy. Yes. And we've got a lot to tell you, and I can't wait. We're looking at getting this wonderful August show up and off the ground. And for those of you who are looking to just come out as an enthusiast, please, you're welcome. It's for everybody. Our regular tickets are at hairnationexpo.biz or Eventbrite, and we've got a lot of experts like Troy Ballard, Smooth Black will be there, and so many others. We look forward to welcoming you. Again, it's August 21st, 22nd, 23rd. That's a Saturday, Sunday, Monday of this year, 2021, at the Showboat Hotel in AC. That's Atlantic City, New Jersey. So I do want to say this, and I would love to do a show. I call it the Smooth Black. It's Wednesday morning at 8:30. It's time for Smooth Black, a.k.a. Troy Ballard. I want to talk about some of the tools of the trade. You started to mention about the wonderful shears and all these other wonderful things that you rely on, do those masterful cuts and that we are also aware of with Smooth Black. So maybe you can kind of review this with us because, as you said, there are folks who are brand new to the game
And you dropped a little bit of hints with them today on how to, what to buy and where they'll be able to get it, especially from you guys at the upcoming show in August. So we maybe we can cover that in next week's broadcast, I'm hoping.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, Smooth Black, you always come on. You always have something amazing to say. Is there anything that you might want to leave us with today before we give our wonderful closing thoughts from Smooth Black, the world of SB, Troy Ballard?
Well, you know, my motto, if it don't make dollars, Terry, it don't make sense.
That's true. I love that. This is very true. Well, listen, you always give us those words that take us until we talk again right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, and we look forward to those at the beginning and end of each of your time that you spend with us here on Wednesday mornings, 8:30 Eastern Time, 7:30 Central Time. We're not going to say what time Pacific, because you're up early out there. It's early. Yeah, it's very early out there in the West Coast, so we just appreciate you being live with us each week. Please take it away, Smooth Black. You've got it. So your words of encouragement today.
Well, today I believe that all things are possible if you only believe. And if you let God be your source, if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, he said, all these things shall be added unto thee. That's Matthew, the 6th chapter, 33rd verse. But, Father, we thank you, Lord, for just giving us ability to think. The Bible says, I think, therefore I am. So I just ask everybody to, on this week, to take time to get to know themselves, meditate, and just, you know, take time to smell the flowers and put a smile on your face. And if you see somebody else that don't have a smile, give them yours. And each day, you know, look forward to great things, great expectations. I believe in optimism, and I believe that all things are going to work together for my good. And I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I just encourage people to get to know the Lord, and, you know, he'll show you great things, and he'll show you in his word that he says, I am the great I am. So I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. And if you would just seek him first, I tell you, your life will be much better. So, Carrie, I thank you, and I encourage people to just love each other. Hallelujah.
Absolutely. Well, listen, thank you, Smooth Black, a.k.a. Troy Ballard. We love having you here on the show. It's just a great honor and pleasure, and thank you for those kind words. We'll see you back here next Wednesday at 8:30 Eastern Sharp for another edition with Smooth Black. Yes, we love you. Just stay tuned, folks. We've got more tomorrow's show on some of the ongoing, you know, we're covering the Haitian president's assassination. We want to, you know, have you guys go over HAIRadio.com at this point for continuing coverage, as well as some of our classic shows. And we'll